Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. Today, again, we have another special treat. We have two individuals that are on today, and they're going to speak of a gentleman that is a very great man. Actually, the gentleman's name is Mr. Robert Pritchard. Mr. Robert Pritchard is a, and I know I'm probably not saying it right, but he is a pianist. He actually is also one of the first African Americans to ever record in a symphony type of environment, to where he pretty much has set the field. He's also an activist, and he's somebody that pretty much raised the bar, one of those people that stepped up when a lot of people were scared and didn't want to step up, one of those people that stepped up because of his love of music and his love of humanity, one of those people that is just really a living legend, and he is still living. And today we have the honor and privilege to talk with Henry and Lisa and Polgard, and they are pretty much the people that have spent basically a lifetime, most of their lifetime, with Mr. Pritchard, and actually have helped him through his work and all of his other dealings. And I guess you can say that Henry is kind of like his adopted son. You know, I made this crack once before, and I know a lot of people may not care for it, but I really don't care. These two are very amazing and wonderful people. You know, they've done more for African Americans and Africans than most people that I know that are African American and African. And I mean, it's really incredible because they've just done so much, and they've given so much of their heart, their time, their life, their funds, all of the above, for the betterment of man as a whole, not really just African Americans, but people around the world. And they've touched people around the world. So it's really a real honor for me to actually have them on the show and to have them share their history and how all of this came about and how they got involved. So with no further ado, because I don't want to take up any more time, because what they've got to say is just critically informative, and it's just something that needs to be shared. Henry and Lisa, how are you today?
We're doing great. Well, thank you very much for all those kind words. We're doing fine.
Thank you so much, Zurian. You're a wonderful host, and we love to listen to your program.
Oh, yes, thank
indeed.
You very much. Well, I've been blessed with the opportunity to meet you guys and to actually come to your home and to hear Dr. Pritchard play and all of that stuff, and it's always been an honor. Plus that their house, ladies and gentlemen, is like a living gallery. They've got so much beautiful art.
Oh, thank you.
And memorabilia, yeah, and it's just phenomenal. I mean, just beautiful stuff from all over the world, not just Africa.
Right.
Anyway, Henry,
well,
how are you?
We're sorry that the Dutch Pritchard, he can't be on the air with us. His health is not very good, so he's having a lot of serious health problems. But he's still going strong, and he's with us in spirit. He's 85 years young. But as
wow.
I say, he still has trouble getting around, and his health interferes in a lot of his activities. But we're very grateful to have been invited to talk about him, because we always love talking about him. And I'm older than Lisa, but Dr. Fisher and I, we've been together for about 50 years. He was like my guardian when my brother and I, when we were youngsters, and he helped us a great deal. And so we're very proud to have been associated with him all this time. And Black History Month is a wonderful time to talk about him, because he was the first person where it's documented that he organized the first Black History Month observance in New York City in 1965. And I was there, and it was a great celebration. It was the first time that there was a month-long observance of Black historical and cultural events that had a a lot of organizations like the City University of New York, the New York Academy of Sciences, Fairleigh Dickinson University, a whole bunch of different organizations that celebrated black history and black culture. And a lot of very well-known personalities like Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee and Roscoe Lee Brown. There are a lot of famous African-American actors and actresses and musicians and performers that all participated in this event. So each month we celebrate Black History Month to, you know, encourage the celebration of it. And Lisa, she was going to talk a little bit about the history of Black History Month, because it has a history. A lot of folks think that it started at the turn of the century, but it actually started even earlier than that. So why don't you tell that, some of that, Lisa?
Oh, certainly. Dr. Pritchard always wanted to honor his ancestors and all those that came before him to pave the way for his success as a concert pianist. He was the first African-American classical virtuoso concert pianist who toured the world, toured Europe in the 1950s, when it was unheard of for an African-American classical pianist to perform in mixed audiences. So he really closed the racial barriers. And so he always honored those that came before him, and he traced the development of the Black History Month observance, or the African American History Month observance, way back to 1893 at the Chicago World's Fair, when Frederick Douglass, who was the you all know this, but Frederick Douglass was the first African American vice presidential candidate for a party back in the 1800s, and he was also the first African-American ambassador of the United States to a foreign country. He was Ambassador Haiti. But he organized what's called the Colored People's Day observance at the Chicago World's Fair on the 25th of August in 1893. So it was a celebration of black culture back then. So that's the first event that can be documented celebrating black culture. And in 1865, the Blanche K. Bruce, Josephine Bruce, the wife of Blanche K. Bruce, senator from Louisiana, she presented a proclamation to the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs to celebrate Negro History Day. And following that, because there was a lot of ferment at that time, and Dr. Carter Woodson, who's considered the father of black studies as an academic discipline, he established Negro History Week in 1926, because the study of black history was very much lacking in the school systems, and it was pretty much an observance that was geared towards the black community, towards black children. And in 1965, Dr. Pritchard, he organized what's called the American Festival of Negro Arts, which was the precursor to the World Festival of Negro Arts that took place in Senegal in 1968, and it's like the world festival. It was an Olympiad of black arts that took place in Senegal, and Dr. Pritchard wanted to have a precursor observance here in the United States. So it was the first time in February, he wanted to coincide with Negro History Week, that there was a month-long observance of to celebrate black culture. And it was not a parochial observance, but it was an inclusive observance that included people from all different ethnic communities. He wanted to celebrate Black History Month as we all celebrate Columbus Day and St. Patrick's Day, so, you know, that everybody in our multi-ethnic communities could be part of the celebration. So that gives you a little bit of a brief synopsis of how the observance developed. And, of course, in 1976, the Association for the Study of Black History had a proclamation issued by President Ford to establish Black History Month.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. It had to be something to actually be there, especially for you, Henry, you know, to be there in New York.
It was really being a part of history. And the another interesting tangent to it was that he, as you mentioned, that he was a very well-known concert pianist, and he traveled all over the world. And I traveled with him on several occasions where he gave concerts in China and in Europe and the Caribbean and also in Africa. And when he was in Africa, he actually went on tour giving concerts for the, at the time, this was many years ago, way back in the 70s, of the liberation movements, the African liberation movements. And he was a real pioneer in this whole field of cultural and educational exchange, where he advocated creating programs where Africans and Americans would come in contact with each other and learn about one another. And it was a very significant effort because historically, a lot of countries now, of the African countries, are on good terms with our governments here, with the U.S., and a lot of it harkens back to those not only Robert Pritchard's efforts, but other people's efforts in creating these ties way back in the 60s and the 70s when these countries became independent. And one of the prime examples, for instance, was Kwame Nkrumah, who was one of the very first, very famous, great African presidents. He was the president of Ghana. And he had a very unfortunate experience when he came here to study at Lincoln University, where, as a matter of fact, Dr. Pritchard was an artist in residence at Lincoln University. But he had a very unhappy time. He was exposed to a lot of racism while he was here, and that reflected back on his political views in later years when he became president. He was a great Pan-Africanist, and he actually exerted a lot of influence for many African countries to go towards the other, to go to the other side politically, you know, to be sympathetic with the Soviet Union and China. So these cultural efforts, where it appears that it's strictly having to do with music and art and literature, it has a great deal of political, there's a political dynamic to it, and Robert Pritchard was very, very much involved in that. He was one of the pioneers in leading that movement.
Wow,
so
really?
Yeah. So as far as the current Black History Month, the other tangent that we feel that should always be mentioned about his efforts is that he conceived of Black History Month as more as a cultural manifestation, where he, since his orientation was cultural exchange throughout the world, he also would often make reference to the fact that there has to be an effort of cultural exchange within the United States, that people of different ethnic backgrounds and different cultural backgrounds, there has to be an ongoing effort for them to interact with one another, you know, for there to be a solidarity between them as Americans. And that's perhaps one of the biggest or one of the most important contributions that Black History Month really does, is that it exposes one another to, you know, all the great things about Black history and African American culture.
Right.
Well, and, you know, to just carry on that tangent, Dr. Pritchard was a great admirer of Louis Moreau Gottschalk. I'm not sure if your audience has heard about him, but he was one of the first truly American composers in the 1800s, and Dr. Pritchard organized a centennial celebration honoring his legacy as a pianist and composer. And Gottschalk really, he really encompassed what being American is. He was of Haitian descent. He was also of German descent. He had Jewish ancestry. He lived in Louisiana, so he spoke French. He toured all over the world, all over Latin America. And so that is the type of life that Dr. Pritchard himself lived as an infant in growing up in the Syracuse area. His family lived a very multi-ethnic, multicultural lifestyle, so it was very much inclusive. And so I think that's really the spirit that Dr. Pritchard wanted to convey in whenever we're celebrating Black History Month.
Right. Well, something we should celebrate. You say we should all celebrate our history all the time. And
absolutely.
Also remember that saying, those of us who do not remember our history are subject to repeat it. And a lot of times we don't repeat the good stuff, we repeat the bad stuff. So
yeah.
I really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing what you're sharing today. You know, and Dr.
Right.
Pritchard's recordings are also in the Smithsonian, is that correct?
Yes, the Smithsonian is making available the 1962 recording that Dr. Pritchard did. It's a piano recital, and it features music by Mendelssohn, by Chopin, by Bach, and also some of his compositions that he wrote when he was artist in residence in Liberia. He lived there for a couple years in the 1950s, and then he also lived in Haiti. He loved Haiti, so he wrote several pieces based on Haitian folk songs. And your listeners will go to www.folkways.si.edu. They can purchase his recording, or they can call 1-888-FOLKWAYS and find out how to either download it, or they can also buy the disc itself online. So we're really, really excited about that.
Phenomenal, mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. Again, to be around somebody that's done so much to mold our history and our culture, and also to have you guys on again to share mm-hmm. some of this information, because unfortunately a lot of African-American history is kind of lost mm-hmm. history, and some of it's resurfacing now. But a lot of it is hard for a lot of people to accept because that's not what they were taught originally. So it's
mm-hmm.
even though a lot of people thought they knew it, they're finding out that they really didn't know the truth.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to learn. And in the 1970s, our organization, which is the Pan-American Pan-African Association, we supported legislation which is called the Multi-Ethnic Heritage Studies Act that way back in the 70s, you know, this was new stuff, unfortunately. And it's actually today's sort of still new stuff that, emphasizing the importance of multiculturalism and respecting each other's culture. And through that legislation, it encouraged colleges and universities to expand their curriculum. In the late 60s, primarily universities were concerned about having a separate course for Black studies, and Dr. Pritchard always had the vision that Black studies should be part of the curriculum. It should not have to be a separate part, just as Black History Month should not be just celebrated in February, but should be celebrated throughout the year. So, you know, we're really proud to be affiliated with that.
Wow. Wow, that's phenomenal. Also, we have a few callers in the chat area. If you have any questions, you know, please either post them on the chat, or you're also welcome to call in. The call-in number is 323-443-7471. Again, that's 323-443-7471 if you'd like to call in and speak with our guests. But until then, please continue, Lisa.
Okay. Yeah, I think, the most important thing is that progress is never a final step, that we are always continuing the journey to improve our society, to make it a better and more harmonious place. And another issue that is very present today is really equity of access to economic opportunity, and which is, you know, our society is very divided and there's a big division between the haves and the have-nots, and unfortunately a lot of that division is based on a color line. So, you know, it's very important that our society focus on keeping in place certain tools that have made it possible for many generations to go beyond the poverty, their state of poverty, because they're limited or because they're being confined according to their race. So that was one of the biggest emphasis that Dr. Pritchard wanted to place during Black History Month, is that there should be equity of access to economic opportunity, equity of access to educational opportunity for everybody, and not just limited to a small group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also add that Robert Trujillo's concepts, he was in a sense one of the very first multiculturalists. I always, when I listen to and watch our president, our current President Obama, I often think of Dr. Pritchard, not that they knew each other, but this might be going off on a tangent, but to me, one of the things that about our president that a lot of people don't understand is that he doesn't see things from a point of reference of having anything to do with race. And it's a hard thing to explain or to understand, but I remember years ago that Robert Pritchard was one of the first to explain this kind of an outlook and to promote this idea that you can go beyond any kind of concept of race. You can look at people and different people, different cultures, and from a different cultural background. And that's what he was a part of, that movement way back in the 50s and the 60s that produced people like our President Obama, who doesn't think in those terms. He's gone beyond that. He's a person who's world traveled, and he has an understanding of people that has nothing to do with this kind of parochial approach, where you see people from different racial backgrounds. And that was, as I guess I've already said, that was the kind of thing that Robert Pritchard was really trying to generate in terms of these Black History Month events, so that for many decades, what he was, we were all involved in encouraging Black History Month as a movement, where we would organize events all over the country. We would travel all over the country to promote Black History Month, because we thought that it was something that still to this day is as relevant as it was way back when it first started, almost virtually 100 years ago.
But at the same time, there's still the reality of the scourge of racism. And one of the projects that we launched as a foundation, spearheaded by Dr. Pritchard, is a campaign against the Ku Klux Klan. And people can't imagine that the Ku Klux Klan was very, very active in the 1970s and 80s. And Dr. Pritchard attended the Stone Mountain, Georgia. I don't want to say attended, but he went to the Stone Mountain, Georgia Klan rally to confront the Klan, because they were trying to give an image that the Klan was a peaceful Klan, that it was not engaged in any violent activities. And he wanted to prove that that was not true. And unfortunately, he was stoned and maced at the time. And the TV cameras were there, so it really focused attention on the fact that when you promote hate, that it leads to violence. you can't just contain it. And so he's always been in the forefront of combating racism wherever it raises its ugly head.
Yeah, that was an extraordinary period. And in the context of what Lisa's talking about the Klan, is that what his organization did is that they filed public interest litigation lawsuits in the state of New York, because even it was all documented that throughout the Northeast, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, there was a lot of activity from Klan's organizations, from the United Klans of America in the South. And the effort, his effort was not to, you know, to be sensational. His effort was to show how these extremist groups, and, you know, they exist to this day, how they could create a lot of damage in our society at large. So these public interest litigation suits was in order to expose, in federal court, was in order to expose what was going on. And, in fact, even though these lawsuits went on for 7-8 years, we actually lost the legalities of the lawsuit, in the sense that you could not prevent these groups from organizing and having speeches, because you had to protect their First Amendment rights. But within that context, it's not unlike some elements, not all of them, but some elements of people that nowadays that are involved in this dialogue about gun control, that the Second Amendment is supposed to protect, you know, is a blanket protection of people to do certain things with guns. Well, in those days, it was the First Amendment right, where people felt they had a right to do anything they say, anything they wanted. So that was another tangent. He was a real humanist, in the sense that there was a quote from a very well-known musicologist, John Guthrie Doyle, who wrote about Dr. Pritchett, and who said that he was a he wrote of Pritchard that the distinguished pianist and composer's activities as an artist cannot be fully circumscribed within the traditional confines of a performing artist's career. As a humanist, his dedication to music is but one manifestation of his interest in the greater world of men and art. So he really lived that. He really lived that dedication.
Yeah, and I was also reading the New York Times wrote about him. Also, the New York Herald Tribune wrote about him, and wrote about all of the phenomenal he's done.
Yeah, in those days, he was it was a rarity for there to be an African American concert pianist of classical music playing Bach, Beethoven, and Chopin, and it was a great rarity, and he was acknowledged as a very, very special, as a very great artist in those days, and that he really lived his dream.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal individual. Anyway, we're just about out of time. We're going to have to come back on again, but I want to thank you two for both coming on and for sharing all of this information, and again, allowing my listeners all of the things that you had to share. And ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Pritchard, again, he's got albums that are out there in the Smithsonian that you can get, and you can get them online. You can also call a toll-free, which is 1-888-365-5929. Again, that's 888-365-5929, and you can also go online and also find out about that. Is there anything else you want to share with the minute we've got left?
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, and we should give.
I would like to thank you, Z. You're my friend Z, so I can get to call you Z.
That's
fine. You're doing wonderful work, and so we admire you very much for all your energy and enthusiasm and initiatives that you're taking. So we're glad to be a part of it. Thanks so much.
I want to thank you guys, because you guys are, believe it or not, you're setting the bar and showing me each and every day that I need to step it up a little bit more. So, again, thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you will do.
Yeah.
Totally appreciate it. Henry, thank you for all your time, too.
Well,
you know, and
you
also allowing me to share some of your lovely wife's time with you today. That was an honor.
Thank you.
Okay.
You guys take
all
care.
Right, well,
be well. And as always on the Zurian Show, we hope that we brought you guys information that was useful and helpful. And I can tell you now, this is useful and helpful. And, again, these two are shining examples of the fact that all of us need to step up, no matter what our race. However, we also need to realize that our race does not make us perfect. Our race does not give us the right to condemn or to downplay another race. Our race is something that we need to look at with honor, with respect, as we also look at other races and other cultures with honor and respect. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, we could all be happy, we could all be rich, we could all be wealthy if we all keep it in mind and keep it in heart that this is one world and we all share the same planet. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I want to thank you for your time, your patience. And again, remember, if you're not listening, all I'm really doing is talking to myself. But each and every day I am honored and thankful that you guys continue to listen and continue to find interest in the show. Take care and have a great and wonderful day. Farewell.
Okay.
Thank you.
Farewell. Thank you again. Bye-bye.